Just to give you an example of what a fraud the so-called germ theory is when it comes to applications in modern medicine, you do know that amoxicillin and other antibiotics are wiped out of inventory nationwide, right? You can barely get them at pharmacies. And why is that? Well, it's because doctors keep prescribing amoxicillin to treat so-called RSV infections. RSV is a virus, according to mainstream, you know, germ theory. Viruses aren't touched by antibiotics because viruses aren't living. There's nothing to anti-bio. It's not bio. So they're prescribing something that even they admit is useless against RSV, and they're prescribing it in such numbers that the entire supply is wiped out nationwide. And yet they can't figure out why there's still RSV. Why is it spreading, right? So you could say, okay, well, according to their germ theory, then RSV is a virus that is spreading, but then why are they treating it with something that doesn't work on viruses, right? So you have to be consistent. If you have a system of medicine and you're going to say, okay, this is a virus versus this is a bacterial strain, and antibiotics only work on bacteria and so on, or fungi, you know, more complex life forms, then you have to be consistent. You can't just make up the rules as you go along and say, well, in this case, amoxicillin, we think it's going to work on a virus, even though it doesn't. So, but the real reason, by the way, why so many children are getting sick across America is because they've been hit with bioweapons in the form of these so-called vaccines. That's the real reason. Now, obviously, people can argue about whether it's really an RSV, you know, a viral strain that's spreading, or if it's just children's weakened immune systems creating the opportunity because of the vulnerability in their terrain that is allowing other insults to their lives and health to, you know, to sink in and to have progress, or I should say to make progress in their attack on the body, right? So that debate is germ theory versus terrain theory, but that's not the focus of this podcast. My point is saying that the vaccine, the so-called vaccine, mRNA injections are destroying children's immune systems. So for whatever reason that you think it is, germ theory or terrain theory, or maybe some other theory, children are getting sick in record numbers like never before across the country. That is a fact that the hospital statistics bear out. And then the question, why are they getting sick? Well, because their immune systems have been destroyed. That's why. And why are their immune systems getting destroyed? Because of the actions of the very same doctors who, you know, jab them, the very same doctors who also claim that antibiotics can treat RSV. the same people who don't even know what they're talking about. These are the same doctors, by the way, who claim that you're born without an immune system, that you're incomplete without a medical intervention, that your immune system doesn't really exist until doctors come along and do something about it, which is insane, right? Because how did humanity survive before the invention of, let's say, even needles or vaccines, which have only been around, I don't know what, 140 years, kind of depending on what you think the first vaccine was. But it's not that long in terms of human history. It's a century plus. That's it. So how did humans survive before that? How are we here? How did our ancestors survive? How did we even make it without this modern medicine? And the answer is quite shocking. The vast majority of the population of the world uses alternative medicine, complementary medicine, or herbal medicine, for example, and they don't use Western medicine. And the countries that are embracing Western medicine are getting devastated right now because it's a depopulation bioweapon. So most of the world's population, let's say about 80% is my guess, relies on traditional medical systems. It could be Amazonian medicine, Tibetan medicine, Australian Aboriginal medicine, Native American medicine, traditional Chinese medicine, and so on and so forth. In every region of the country, there is a traditional medicine system in Russia, in Europe, in South America, you name it. Okay, even in Alaska, there's like traditional Aleutian medical practices, you know, remedies and so on that have been handed down. And these medical systems, the reason they're vastly superior, by the way, at preventing chronic degenerative disease, and I'm not saying they're superior in terms of treating acute injuries or something, right? So you still need ERs when people get in car wrecks, or if you live in Chicago and you get shot, right? You still need ERs for that kind of stuff. Trauma medicine, that's what Western doctors are really, really good at. But preventing chronic degenerative disease, they're horrible at that. It's the local indigenous medicine that is very good at that. Why? Because the local indigenous medicine relies on plants and substances that exist around you where you are compatible. If you live in that region, you're compatible with the plants, with the pollens, with the microbiome that exists around you. And for example, if you eat local honey, this is well known, if you eat local honey, it will, in essence, quote, immunize your body against local allergens. Why? Because the honey is made of the pollen of the local flowers. So if you eat local as much as you can and you grow food locally and you practice health using local customs and local plants, you're going to fare so much better than relying on, you know, chemical, synthetic, Western pharmaceuticals prescribed by a doctor who was trained and indoctrinated in a system run by a pharmaceutical corporate cartel that doesn't even believe in the existence of plant-based medicine. Or when they do, they just rip off the molecules through biopiracy and then try to patent their own version of that. Like, you know, lovastatin was ripped off to make statin drugs, but then they altered the molecule and made it toxic. And that's why statin drugs kill so many people, by the way. It's sick. Now, I saw another headline today that said the fertility of the human race may be gone by the year 2050 because of plummeting sperm counts, but also rising infertility in women due to hormone imbalances and so on. But you know what? The spike protein is part of that too. So the spike protein causes, well, clotting, among other things. And if you are clotting, if you're the mother and you're clotting blood where you shouldn't be, then you can't obviously carry a child to term because blood's got to flow. So that's why you're having a lot of stillbirths, unfortunately. It's very sad. You're having a lot of spontaneous abortions. You're having mega infertility. But don't forget that the spike protein, which is generated in your body after you have the mRNA injection, that spike protein also tends to concentrate itself in the male testes. Indeed. Where sperm production is impaired. And sperm production, the last headline I saw was it's down 62%, although I don't recall the time frame of that. I don't know if that's 5 years or 2 years or 10 years or what, but 62% from where it was in relatively recent times, we'll say. So let's, you know, 62%, that's almost two-thirds down. Well, it means you only have one-third to go and then you have no more babies. That's what that means. So it's happening right now around us. And if you look at the mRNA, the spike protein that is created when your cells are hijacked by mRNA, that spike protein is designed as a depopulation weapon. And when we talk about depopulation, we've always noted that there's, you know, rapid or short-term depopulation, which is killing people off. And then there's long-term depopulation, which is reducing the rate of population growth. And that is something that Bill Gates usually talks about. You know, he doesn't openly usually say, oh, we just want to kill billions of people. He talks about reducing the rate of population growth. And that's done through what he calls, quote, women's health initiatives, which means abortion and birth control. And, you know, killing babies even after they're born, not just pre-birth abortion, but post-birth abortions. But the other thing that he has focused on funding in his research, by the way, is infertility technologies affecting men. So I don't know if you remember this, but I did a meme years ago where we had Bill Gates as the Sperminator because he was terminating the sperm. And the way he was doing that was by funding through the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. I don't know if that's still the current name, but because Bill and Melinda Gates are no longer a thing, but they would create ultrasound devices that would encapsulate the scrotum and it would blast the testes with ultrasound in order to disrupt for about 6 months their ability to generate viable sperm. Okay, so imagine this. I wonder, how are you going to talk African men into this, by the way? Hey, come on over, got something new for you. Yeah, you just place your nutsack in this high-tech looking alien energy beam device. Just put your nutsack right in there and then press this button right there while I leave the room. Okay, go for it. You know, I don't think a lot of men are going to want to do that. It's like, this is made by Bill Gates. I am not putting my nutsack in there. Not a chance. But that's what it was. Seriously, you can look this up. There's patents on it. Okay, so it's ultrasound sperm destroyer, which is, again, why I call them sperminator. So the spike protein is the ultimate sperminator because the spike protein makes it so that your male body cannot produce viable sperm. And then it's also attacking the female body by, you know, clotting, right? And also potentially some hormone disruption and so on. But I think clotting is the main mechanism there. So you combine those two. Obviously, you can't reproduce as a species if you don't have males and females who are both viable. So the upshot is the future of the human race belongs only to those who are unvaccinated. So what Bill Gates has actually done, even though this is not his intention, Bill Gates has carried out a eugenics program to remove obedient pro-vaccine people from the human gene pool. This makes Bill Gates the most large-scale eugenicist ever in the history of humanity. And it also means that the future of the world belongs to those who said no. Seriously, think about that. In a weird, twisted way, kind of have Bill Gates to thank. Well, maybe not him directly, but Fauci and the others who are doing this. Again, it's a weird, twisted way. I mean, I'm saying this in a satirical sense, so don't quote me directly with this, but in a weird, twisted, satirical way, they have actually put in place a mechanism that's going to eliminate from the human race the people who were obedient and ignorant enough to commit vaccine-assisted suicide or vaccine-assisted, you know, gene removal from the gene pool. Let's put it that way. Darwin Award time. Isn't that wild, huh? Not a lot of people think about that. But you know how right now there are clean blood banks being set up because people want blood that's non-vaccinated, and you can't blame them, right? Who wants spike protein in your blood, right? Oh yeah, fill my veins with your with your evil spike protein. No, sorry, I don't want that blood. Well, this is people making a conscious choice to not commingle their blood with vaccinated blood, right? But a similar choice is being made by a lot of women in choosing their mates for reproduction, because you have women who won't date men who have been vaccinated. And this has been reported fairly widely across alternative or independent media, but a lot of women on the dating scene, they won't go out with vaccinated men. And by the way, a lot of men won't go out with vaccinated women. Why? Because they're probably not viable for children. No, I'm serious. I don't mean to sound insensitive, but from a purely Darwinian point of view, because that's what science loves to cite all the time, from a Darwinian point of view, this is what they would call natural selection, survival of the fittest. When members of the species are choosing a mate and they want to choose a mate that is genetically viable, capable of producing offspring. So if you're a normal male, you know, running around the world here trying to figure out who's going to be your mate, who's the woman that's going to carry your child, number one, you're probably going to reject like blue hair and nose ring girls because, nah, right? It's just no. And then secondly, you're going to reject vaccinated girls because you don't know if you're wasting your time. They're vaccinated. It's spike protein. It's not going to succeed. Like, why would you invest time in building a relationship, building a family? I mean, if your goal is to have a family, right? I'm not saying that everybody's goal is to have a family. I mean, I don't have kids. So some people choose not to, and that's fine. But for those who do choose to, obviously they want their kids to be healthy. So you would have to avoid choosing somebody who's been vaccinated by definition. So the human gene pool is being radically, dramatically shifted right now. And over the next generation, it's going to be reshaped in ways that modern science never anticipated and probably would be very shocked to even admit. Because they didn't want to do this. They wanted to kill off the unvaccinated, frankly. And they were celebrating that. They were celebrating it. They were saying, oh, if you're unvaccinated, you're going to die from COVID. And that's your fault. And you deserve it, right? You've seen all those tweets from the vaccine pushers. And then 2 months later, they're dead from a heart attack. You know, sudden death. You know, clot, heart attack, stroke, whatever. So they're getting the opposite of what they wished upon others. So they wanted unvaccinated people to die off, but then they themselves are dying off. So, you know, be careful if you wish death upon other groups of people, because karma is, it boomerangs right back at you sometimes, especially if you keep taking mRNA injections that produce biological weapons in your own blood. All right, so this is a major pivot point in the unfolding of the future of the human race. This vaccine is the turning point. From here forward, the only viable offspring over multiple generations will be unvaccinated people. I'm not saying there aren't vaccinated people that are still having children. There are some, although, you know, again, stillbirths are way up and spontaneous abortions are way up and so on. But that child, what about that child's viability? See, infertility is multi-generational, especially when a mother is pregnant with a female, because remember that the eggs for that female are being formed during gestation. So, in other words, the mother's daughter is being formed in her womb, but also her granddaughter's eggs and grandson's eggs are being formed in her daughter's body in the womb during gestation, which means the spike protein will be causing infertility for two generations to come if they even manage another generation. So if their children are still viable, their grandchildren most likely won't be. So this is the end of the family tree for the vaccinated by and large, although there will be some exceptions. It's not 100%. You know, nature often finds a way around this, but it's going to be bad. So that's my take on things. Thank yourself for not eliminating yourself from the future of the human race. I'm Mike Adams, naturalnews.com, brighteon.com. Thank you for listening. God bless you.